Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. So mindfulness practice, when something unpleasant arises in our life, fear, anxiety, worry, distress, grief, anger, all these things come up. And what makes it worse is when we have the reaction, I shouldn't be feeling like this, or I don't want to be feeling like this, or I've got to do something to fix this. That reaction then adds an extra level of distress on the top. So if we're feeling fearful, anxious, worried, or anything else, and you know, we're human, so these unpleasant emotions and reactions and responses just come up. They're not in our control, and we're kidding ourselves if we think that we ought to be able to control them. Gradually, as the practice develops, they, as a side effect, these things tend to diminish in their strength and intensity over time. But that's through skillful being with. So if you are saying to travel anxiety, and I'm about to travel to the United States, so fear during the previous week, I always get, up until now, I've always had travel anxiety. It may not happen. Welcome. I'm completely open to it not arising this time. It may be that my practice has moved on and it won't arise this time. But it may be that my practice isn't moved on far enough and it still does arise. So what do I need to do? I need to forgive myself and not judge myself harshly for the reality of what is. So if I should feel worried, concerned, anxious, fearful, distressed, or, you know, grief, something bad's happened, then telling myself I shouldn't feel like this really only makes it worse. That just adds another unpleasant emotional state to the already existing unpleasant emotional state. So we have the unpleasantness of anxiety and we add to that the unpleasantness of harsh judgment, the unpleasantness of telling ourselves that we're not good enough because we're having that. Oh, my practice is obviously not good enough. Oh, I should be beyond this. This is very common for spiritual practitioners to feel that they ought to be further along than they actually are. I could say we feel that we ought to be along further than we actually are. And it doesn't help, does it? It just makes it worse. So when something like that comes up, give it a cup of tea. Hello, Diwa. You're my little travel anxiety, aren't you? There. It's okay, let's have a cup of tea. You want tea? Well, coffee, fine. Would you like a biscuit with that? And it's interesting how that gentle, kind approach to that part of us then makes it feel not like it doesn't have to shout so hard to be heard. So it's okay. It's understandable. Traveling's dangerous. It's all right. You have every right to be anxious. It's okay. It is possible that something terrible might happen, so I can see why you feel like that. So I kind of talk to myself as if I'm in parts, you know? So this part of me is talking to that part of me. I'm not actually split personality, but, you know, I can talk to that part of me and accept it for what it is. And I discover that over time, the intensity of these things diminishes enormously. So the first time I travelled overseas, I was so terrified that I couldn't actually eat for 4 days, maybe 5 days. I just couldn't eat. My stomach was so tight. I could barely sleep and I couldn't eat. I was just, yeah, probably terrified is no too small a word for it. If I had allowed that terror to be the boss of me, I wouldn't have gone. I would have cancelled my trip and not gone. It was that strong. But I went, okay, there you are. All right. Oh, well, I'm not eating. I'm a bit chubby anyway. It's okay. Oh, look at me packing 2 giant suitcases. The size of my suitcase is clearly mirroring the size of my fear. And I just chuckled along and didn't feel like it should be different. It was what it was. And I did take 2 giant suitcases with me. And all the time, and I had to pay all sorts of extra baggage and stuff. And I didn't care. It's like, and I called my suitcases the size of my fear. Come along, fear. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And as my fear diminished, the size of my luggage diminishes. Now, when I travel interstate, I just take my shoulder bag. I don't even take a suitcase. And I'm about, when I travel overseas this time, I'll just have a little tiny suitcase. I won't need 2 giant suitcases. I suspect it's likely that some anxiety will come up, but it won't be terror, and it will each time it ratcheted down. It went from terror to very afraid, from very afraid to just afraid, from afraid to a bit to anxious, from anxious to just a little bit concerned. Now, it wouldn't have done that if I'd tried to push it away or pretend I shouldn't be like that or judge myself harshly and said I shouldn't feel like that. In fact, it probably would have got bigger. It might have even got so big that it ended up preventing me from travelling, because I've seen that happen in other people. When it's so terrifying that you can't even eat and can't hardly sleep, it's the sort of thing that can turn into a phobia if you don't treat it kindly. And I don't actually overstate it, because I'm quite a person of quite strong passions. Some people are naturally more equanimous about their lives, and that's not me in terms of my natural temperament and my natural character. In terms of what I came into this world with, I came into this world with extremely strong passions, and they got stronger and stronger over my life. So I was a very, very passionate and temperamental person, but I'm not anymore. And what's the difference? Well, the difference is, instead of either feeding it or denying it, I'm just gentle and kind, and I acknowledge it without feeding it. So I acknowledge my fear. Yes, that could happen. So here's one of my crazy fears, okay? And I have this every time I travel overseas. My crazy fear is that the world economy will collapse and that I will get stuck overseas and not be able to get back to my beloved Australia. Stuck in America, oh my gosh. Hell realm. Stuck in the Himalayas where it snows. Oh, no. And I go, yeah, okay. But really, is that really likely to happen? Probably not. And if it happens, well, you'll still be an Australian citizen and you could walk to the nearest ocean if you really wanted to and get on a boat. And if you die, and that's okay. And I just say, tell it, you know, it's okay. You can have that silly fear, but you know it is a bit silly. That's my silly fear. I'm sure yours is probably much more logical than that. But I pat it and I stroke it and I go, there, there, silly fear, it's okay. I love you anyway. You're going to come with me this time? We're going to go together? And then off we go, my silly fear and me. It's a lot smaller now. It only needs a shoulder bag. Doesn't require two giant suitcases to pack everything I might need in case the plane crashes in the Himalayas. Seriously, I packed a camping stove and rations.
Wow.
I really did. It was the only way I could get on the plane. Right? So I acknowledged my fear. I went, okay, that's what you're afraid of. Well, let's just do all these things and we'll pack a half a suitcase full of thermal underwear, high altitude alpine camping gear. So if the plane does in fact crash in the Himalayas, we will be able to dig our way through the snow into the baggage compartment and we will have all this stuff. Right? And so I was able to get on the plane. I know. I figured whatever it takes, right? And so I was able to go to Ladakh. That was my first international trip, was to Ladakh.
This was before you were a nun.
This is before I was a nun, yeah. But if I hadn't made that trip, I wouldn't have made it to Burma, because Burma's even more scary. When I went to Burma, I only had one giant suitcase, because I'd had some test journeys. But by being kind to my fear, I allow it to get smaller and smaller, and I just do what it needs to have done. I don't need to pack high alpine camping gear when I go now. Even though I probably, you know, when I first went to California and I knew I was going into the Redwoods, I had to pack rubber boots because it was going to be wet. I used them because it was really wet. Yeah. They were great. They were really useful. But, you know, denying it, pretending we shouldn't be there. Oh, I shouldn't be so scared. Beating myself up. I mean, it doesn't help, does it? But now I can laugh at it. I laughed at it then. And then I could just be happy and just get on with it and get on the plane and do what I have to do. So just relax, be kind to your fear, be kind to your grief, be kind to your anger, whatever it is, you know, and do what you got to do anyway. It's like, okay, fear, you're there, but you're not the boss of me, I'm just going to go anyway. Because of course you're going to go, right? Of course you are, naturally. But what we want is each time you go for it to get smaller. Not to always be the same each time, right? So next, if we deal with it kindly this time, then next time it'll be a little bit smaller, and next time it'll be a little bit smaller, to the point where now domestic travel, I can sleep perfectly the night before, and international travel, it's only, last time there was only one night. The night before, I didn't sleep quite so well. I still slept, though. Whereas, you know, the first time I didn't sleep properly for 5 days, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. So we definitely brought it down. I mean, as I said, I'm a high reactivity person, so you definitely get the big test bench here. Thank you. So let's meditate, shall we? And I'll ring the bell at 10 to 2. And I've just put my phone on flight mode. And I think that I'll probably do mindfulness of breathing again, because it's a wonderful thing to do when you're feeling anxious, is to just breathe and be with the breath. Breathing in and breathing out. So let's start by making sure we're nice and comfortable and bringing our attention to the body. And today I'm going to look at my big toe and imagine there's a plug in the end of my toe. And I'm going to pull that plug out. Maybe there's a plug in the end of every toe. And out of the end of my toes, I'm going to allow any kind of tension, anxiety, stress, fear, anger, anything unpleasant, tightness. I'm going to let it drain out the end of my toes as if I've pulled the plug out of a bath. So having pulled the plug out, I now look at the top of my head and I can see the meniscus, the level of tension just draining out. And I can see that level going down from the top of my head, past my forehead. And the top of my head's now very relaxed and calm. And the level is going down and down, past my temples, past my eyes and cheeks, past my ears and jaw, allowing the jaw and temples to really relax and feel clear and empty as the level goes down to my neck. My whole head feels light and clear and empty as all the tension drains out, all the tightness drains out. I can feel it draining out of my neck and my throat. And the level's gone down to my shoulders. All the worries and troubles and burdens are just sliding off my shoulders. Sliding off, slipping off, draining away. The level's going down to my chest and upper back. And I can feel my upper back and my chest relaxing as the level goes down the upper arms, down through the middle of the chest, allowing my upper arms to relax, and the chest and the back feels so light and empty as all the tension just drains away. The liver, diaphragm. And the levels going down through the belly and the lower back. I can just see the level going down and down, like the level in a bath that's emptying. And my belly's feeling light, and my lower back's feeling soft and light. My lower belly, just as it empties out, my whole torso feels empty and light. Now the tops of my thighs and the levels going down through my knees, through the bones in my thighs, down to the buttocks. So it's drained all the tension out of my hips and buttocks, through my thighs, down my knees, and the levels quickly going down my lower legs, down the calves, down to the ankles, the tops of the feet, past the heels, the sole of the foot, the balls of the foot, and the last few drops draining out of the end of the toes. so that the feet are soft and relaxed and empty. Being aware of the whole body as soft and relaxed and empty. Empty of tension, empty of tightness, empty of worry. Any remaining little drops and dregs, allowing them to drain away, fall away. Being aware of the whole body, soft, light, empty, airy. Feeling the movement of air in the body. As that emptiness is just filled with the breath coming in, filling the whole body, the body expanding, filling with air, filling with breath, and then relaxing, getting smaller as the air moves out again. The air moving in, the air moving out. A little bit like the waves coming up on the beach. There's an ocean of air surrounding us, and little waves of air pouring in, falling out. Feeling the breath moving in through the nostril, down the throat into the chest, down into the belly, filling the whole torso with airy breath. And then the chest and the belly falls down. And the air pushes out. And we're just aware of the air coming in and the air going out. We can feel the beginning of the breath. As the body sort of expands, a bit like a balloon. And then the middle of the breath where the body begins to collapse again, like the air coming out of a balloon. Larger, smaller. Expanding. And relaxing. Feeling the movement of that air from the nostril. Filling the lungs and belly like a balloon. And then relaxing down again. Filling and relaxing. We can be aware of the great long breath. All the way from the nose through the chest and the belly. All the way from the belly through the chest and the throat and out the nose. And sometimes we can be aware of a short breath, just from the nose into the throat, maybe only into the very top of the lungs and out again. Sometimes they're medium length breaths and they go further down into the chest, but not quite all the way into the belly. And we understand, we know. Oh, that's a short breath. That's a long breath. That's a medium-sized breath. Sometimes the in-breath and the out-breath are different lengths. As we breathe in, we fill the body with revitalizing oxygen, feeling how it makes us alert, bright. We breathe out, feeling the body relax. Breathing in alert, breathing out relaxed. Breathing out relaxed, breathing in alert, bright, relaxed. Soft. As we breathe, we allow the body to relax. As we breathe in and breathe out, we allow the mind to be relaxed and alert. Breathing in and breathing out, relaxing the body, relaxing the mind. as we relax the body and relax the mind. It feels pleasant. So we breathe in, feeling that pleasant, relaxed feeling. We breathe out, feeling that pleasant, relaxed feeling. Breathing in, experiencing a relaxed feeling. Breathing out, experiencing a pleasant feeling. Breathing in, we know we're breathing in. Breathing out, we know we're breathing out. Being aware of the relaxed feeling from breathing slowly. Being aware of the pleasant feeling. And breathing in, being aware of that pleasant feeling. Breathing out, being aware of the pleasant feeling of being relaxed. Thank you. for the next minute, just review your experience in the last half hour. Did your mind get more peaceful or less peaceful? Or about the same? Did anything change? What part worked the best for you?